Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
A number of research projects at Northwestern are grinding to a halt. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Trump administration says it's cutting nearly $800 million for the university. Typically, those federal dollars would be used to develop new technologies and study Parkinson's and more. But a lot of work is now in limbo. On top of those cuts, the U.S. Department of Defense sent more than 100 stop work orders to university research staff. For more on what this means for some unfinished projects and how the university is responding, we turned to Julius Lux, professor of chemical and biological engineering at Northwestern University. We started by asking if the university was ready for these cuts. Here's Julius.
Absolutely not. Last week, I think we first found out on Twitter that some cuts were coming.
On Twitter.
Wow. And then the next day, we got some emails from the Department of Defense saying specific projects were to be stopped.
Yeah. And, you know, in the current climate of things, you know, Trump is sort of slashing things left and right. Were the stop work orders expected? Or did that even also seem out of left field?
Yeah, I think, you know, as with most people, we've been hearing about some interactions between the administration and universities, but we didn't really know what that meant until, you know, very specific stop work orders. You get it at 10 in the morning and say by 5 p.m. you need to stop work on this project.
Literally, and that's what it means. You need to just halt what you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
How long is the work stoppage for?
We don't know. We didn't really receive any specific justification for the order, why a specific project was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And the stop work order had no timeline. Mm-hmm. And so we're all kind of operating with it may or may not come back.
So it sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty wrapped up in this, Julius. I mean, what's the reaction from your peers even? How are you feeling about all of these changes?
Well, I think a lot of us are confused. You know, we're researchers. These cuts don't come to the university as a whole. They're coming to very specific research projects. And we're doing everything we can to help people. We're developing technologies. In our cases, we're trying to help people understand if their water is safe to drink. And we're developing a technology like an at-home COVID test so people can say, hey, is my water safe to drink right now?
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, waters are critically important for
Absolutely.
Everyone. So, you know, a lot of it's confusion. Why in the world would the government want to stop these projects, which are trying to help a bunch of people? Why are they coming so fast? And when might others come?
Yeah. Help us understand some more about the research projects that you and your team are working on. So you've got this lead project.
Yeah,
water
that's
project.
Right. Yeah. So I help lead a team of people in the Center for Synthetic Biology at Northwestern. And big picture, our goal as researchers is to help people. That's what we spend, you know, all of our days and nights thinking about.
Right.
In our case, it's about water. Water is super important for our daily lives. We use water to grow our food, to cook our food, and to drink water, you know. And it's really important that it's clean. Clean water, though, is hard to know. If you look at a glass of water, like I'm looking at one right now, it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see or taste if there's contaminants in there. And so what we're trying to do is develop technologies so that people can understand, is my water safe to drink or do I need to filter my water? Do I need to do something to it? We've been really interested in lead because it's a big problem. It's a big problem in Chicago. It's a big problem throughout the country. Drinking water with contaminated lead is bad for babies. It's bad for pregnant mothers. It's bad for everybody. Leads to a lot of different things. We want to empower people with information about that. So we have a big team of people working on the basic technology. You know, we want it to be as simple to use as an at-home COVID test, put a drop of water in and look at a strip. But under the hood, there's a lot there. There's a lot of science there. So we got a team of people working on that, and we've got a field team that goes into people's homes and asks them, you know, to use the technology and study right. how they use it.
Well, the more I learn about this, Julius, the more I'm going back to the question you asked a few moments ago. Why were you even on the federal government's radar? Why did the Department of Defense get involved here?
It really is. I don't have an answer for that.
Wow.
I really don't. The particular grant that was stopped in my case was funding kind of the next generation of a technology. So when you develop a technology, you've got your first version iPhone out there, but you're already working on version 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of the future version that was going to be faster and more accurate. There was also a number of other researchers on the project that covered a lot of different aspects of science. And so all of their projects were cut all in the same time. And it's really not clear why we were chosen.
Mm. If it's unclear why you were chosen, are you able to figure out what the message is that's being sent from the White House?
I know as much as the message as everybody does from kind of reading the news media. From what I've heard, it seems like a leverage point to try to get the university to change its behavior. But what doesn't make sense to me is why you would target this research that's trying to benefit everybody.
Yeah.
Water quality is not a partisan issue. This is something that is important for everyone.
This is for us all. Talk about the role of your grad students in this work that you just described.
Yeah. So, universities are an engine of innovation. We do research to help people, but we also teach. And part of the teaching mission is for graduate students to teach them how to do the research. So they're the real engine behind this. We've got ideas. We develop them together. They're in the lab doing the experiments, mm-hmm. developing the technologies. In this case, this project funded a student that, was no longer really allowed to work on that. Fortunately, as with any complex technology, we've got other funding sources that are covering, the pieces of it, and we could move that student onto that project. So they're still a part of the lab.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a lot of uncertainty there. The 100 Defense Department grants, a lot of us think that's probably just the beginning because a lot more cuts have been promised.
Yeah. So let's talk more about the funding, because, you're getting multiple funding streams here, right? So as far as I understand it, Julius, this cut now to or this work stop order doesn't affect the full project that you're working on. Is that right?
There are parts of the project that can continue. And pretty much any project where you're developing a technology will have multiple funding streams because you need to cover different bases. You need to cover the core technology. You need mm-hmm. to cover the field studies and things like that.
Now, Julius, are there teams at Northwestern who have actually stopped their work because of this?
Yeah, everybody that received a stop work order
has complied.
That's what we're obligated to do.
And you're just waiting for information as to whether you can restart? Or does it sound pretty final?
Honestly, it feels a little bit final. Mm. There was nothing in the message. But certainly a lot of us are trying to think, we're collectively, we are committed to helping people with our research. We're collectively thinking about, okay, what can we do together to support each other? Obviously, if the funding cuts keep continuing and hit all the other research, then the project will have to stop. But one of the things we're trying to do is to tell the public, what about research? The role of university in this country is one of the main innovator. The way it kind of works is the U.S. government says, okay, we're going to take our money and we're going to invest it in the best and the brightest to come up with the new ideas. We're going to try a lot of stuff, but it's going to be so cutting edge that a lot of it's not going to work, and that's just research.
Mm-hmm.
But when something does work, then, companies can be formed, or companies can take that technology and take it out into the world. So if you think about America's leadership and ideas, it really does start at the universities. It's been doing that since World War II.
Absolutely.
And so this is kind of changing that whole relationship. Like, how do we as a country want to be the leaders in innovation? And a lot of us are thinking about that now.
Not by not being able to do the work.
Exactly.
For starters. How has the university been supporting you through this?
Well, the university is definitely I can't speak on behalf of the university, but I can say a lot of people are studying the situation, keeping us close with new information as it becomes available. I think we're all trying to figure out how we can support each other through this and other things that might come up.
A lot of sharing notes, which aren't many notes
There's not many notes yet, but, you know, if there's ways that, you know, for example, we can support each other's students and somehow keep the people in the pipeline. Because a big part of this is not just stopping the research project and stopping development of a clean water technology, for example. It's stopping the training of a future generation of leaders in science. You know, so if we don't train these students and there's a gap because we couldn't fund them, that's bad news for a long time to come for the country.
You know, I'm thinking of your project and whether it's time sensitive, Julius, because is a pause like this going to affect the end result here?
Well, we'll have to see how long the pause is. I mean, the pause definitely affects it because you lose momentum. If we have to end up, you know, people can't work on the project anymore, that's just that much slower. The technology is developed, and that's that many more people that are facing unclean water. So yeah. There's a direct impact there.
Yeah. The short-term impact looks pretty clear then. I mean, people can't do the work on their project. In your view, what do you see as the long-term impact if this goes on for much longer, not just for your team, but for science?
Yeah. You know, in this, the way that it could go, I think in some of the worst cases, you know, you've got a real contraction of how much science can be done by the country. You know, we're thinking about, you know, I run a team of about 12 to 14 people, depending on the time. Oh, that's a really good,
bigger team than
I
thought. Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds to do this type of work. So you want that size. But, you know, if we're going to all have to shrink down to maybe a couple students, if we're lucky each, that's going to be a massive reduction in the number of scientists that are out there. I also worry just about this relationship and where universities stand as this driver of innovation. If you wind the whole thing down, then where are the new ideas going to come from? I mean, I think a lot of people think, okay, well, you know, we've got businesses and our businesses are great. And our businesses are wonderful. They're leaders in tech. But a lot of the ideas that universities explore are so cutting edge, they're too far out for businesses. You know, because businesses have to you know, look on the shorter term of their investments.
Yeah. And it's also just unfair for the students, too.
I agree.
To get this real life hands-on experience.
Yeah, these are people that, you know, they're coming to do science and engineering PhDs. They are paid for their work, but
this feels like robbery.
Yeah, right. but they're not, you know, they could have chosen to gone off into a tech industry job and been making more money. They're essentially betting that if they get this training, they're going to elevate and, you know, have a better leadership position. But they're also doing it because all of these students just have a personal mission to help people.
Absolutely.
And the rug is being pulled out from under them. And they're asking, like, you know, why me? You know, I was just here trying to help.
Well, I hope you get some answers very soon and can continue. Julius Lux is professor of chemical and biological engineering at Northwestern University. Best of luck to you and your team.
Thanks, Sasha. I appreciate it.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yason and Linnea Dominic, who also mixed the episode. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. Reset brings you thoughtful conversations on breaking news. Support what we do? Drop a like or subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every weekday with a special episode on Saturdays. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.